Good evening. It is Tuesday, April 22, 2025, 7 p.m., and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember Powell. Please rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Assemblymember Powell. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Robbins.
Here.
Mock.
Here.
Audison.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
And Mayor Miller.
Here. Under ceremonial matters, I was honored to be present when the United States Coast Guard sent several officials to Wrangell. And they gave an award to our own Tim Bunis, former fire chief and still involved with the fire department. And among the many things they said, they presented the Coast Guard meritorious award to Wrangell Police Chief Tim Bunis from his services from 1989 to 2024. And he served as Wrangell Fire Chief for 35 years and dedicated over 50 years to Wrangell Fire search and rescue operations. He conducted and oversaw over 2,000 search and rescue operations. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but highlight some of it. And it worked directly with the Coast Guard on over 500 search and rescue cases. He offered invaluable local experience and aid to units regularly navigating the treacherous waters and terrain surrounding Wrangell Island. So they awarded him this, and I wanted the public to be aware of that. I'm very, very proud of our former fire chief. All right, persons to be heard. Item 3. Thank you. All right, first up we have Steve Keller. Do you want to speak now or when your item comes up?
When the item comes up.
Okay, do you remember what the...
13A.
13A, okay, great. And Ed Com, would you like to speak now?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Madam Mayor and Assembly members, Borough Leader Mason, I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce for the hard work that's gone into some of the things that we've been doing together as a team. Everywhere that I've been after my military service and retirement, I've served in some public fashion. And there wasn't a time where I wasn't trying to get tourism, chamber of commerce, and economic development all to work together. And that's over 20 years of experience doing that. So thank you for your efforts in this vein. Together we're better, together we're stronger. A lot of good things can happen, a mixture of volunteer bases, a mixture of experiences. So again, thank you for your time and your staff's time particularly. And do know that we're going to make some mistakes. And you learn from those mistakes and you move on, you know, as a, starting a new relationship and moving over there, if you choose to have us move over there, we're going to have some mistakes. But it's okay, we grow from those. You've heard the Mickey Mantle story about the batting and the Thomas Edison, so I don't need to quote that to you. But again, thank you for entertaining this, and I'm here to represent the chamber to cheerlead in any way that I can. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other testimony? All right, see none. Amendments to the agenda. Any assembly member have any amendment to the agenda? All right, hearing none. Conflict of interest?
Yep, I have one on the consent agenda 6E.
All right. On consent agenda assembly, with your approval, I'm going to strip out 6E and we'll vote on consent agenda without 6E and then vote on 6E. Is that agreeable? All right, thank you. Consent agenda, item 6, minus 6E.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted, minus 6E.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Any discussion? We have, I just wanted to highlight the Walker Foundation gave $10,000 to the Kids Club, which involves the library, the parks, and the Nolan Center, that after-school activity. They also, later on, you'll notice that they, the Walker Foundation gave $24,500 to the fire department for equipment. And then our own Stikine Sportsman gave $10,000 to our fire department. So I'd like the public to know that. All right. Poll vote on consent agenda, minus 6E.
Assemblymember Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Assembly, item 6E, motion to approve.
That'll go under unfinished business.
Okay. All right. We'll do it there. All right, moving right along. Borough Manager's Report. We have quite a few reports under this section.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If anybody has any questions on the staff reports that are submitted, please let me know throughout. I'll try to keep it brief. There's a lot going on in the borough. First, I'd like to congratulate Assemblyman Broadson has a newborn kid, Asher Audison, so congratulations to him. If you're like Dan Powers, maybe you can pump out 8 more and our school will be really in good shape. So thank you and congratulations. We'd like to give everybody a brief state update. We have no capital budget, as you probably predicted. That's why we didn't spend a lot of time in Juneau this year. So no capital budget. The borough didn't get any capital projects from the legislators submitted for a designated legislative grant. That was no surprise. But what was a surprise today is House Bill 69, which was a measure to veto the governor's proposed 560 BSA back to 1,000, lost in a vote of 32-27. They needed a supermajority of 40 and failed to do so. So bad news on the BSA for the school, just given the fact that last year we got 680 as a one-time. We're looking at governor proposed 560, which is less than last year. We're also looking at the reduction of nearly 800,000 to $1 million in secure rural schools that wasn't reauthorized. Hopefully that's reauthorized and retroactively applied, but that doesn't put us in good shape from an education perspective. And so you know that the school's reserves are going to be spent down even further if 560 comes to light, which is looking like it's going to be between 560 and 680.
And for the public, tell them what else comes out of secure rural schools.
So for secure rural schools, it's not just for education funding. In recent years, we've applied that funding, which is derived from national forest receipts in lieu of all the timber harvest within the borough on federal lands. We've applied that to the sidewalk project up at the high school, middle school fire alarm project, road replacement, and those types of activities. So it can be for any public facility that's existing or any road that's existing. At one point, we did have about $4 to $5 million in secure rural schools. Prior management spent down reserves on that stuff.
And then on top of that, we are paying off the $3.5 million bond.
Thank you. Yeah. So we're actually paying $243,000 as our debt service this next FY26 for a $3.5 million general obligation bond issuance. So that's being paid out of secure rural schools as well. If secure rural schools does not come back, that'll eventually reside back on the taxpayer if they secured that in the vote. So a little bit of update on the state, nothing much more than that at this point. They're squabbling over the dividend, no capital budget. I think one positive thing maybe that we have a higher jail contract, which does help our general fund out a bit. We went from 530,000 in the year prior to down to 331. And so I think we'll probably sit somewhere in the middle of that. So that's a good development. Had the opportunity, thanks to the mayor and the harbor master for pushing, to go down to the Sea Trade Conference. It was a really great experience to meet with all the cruise lines and met with all the cruise lines that come to Wrangell in the summertime. And by no means do we want to be a town that sells out to cruise tourism, but we do want to grow sustainably tourism. It is a vibrant sector of our economy. and I was grateful to meet with Royal Caribbean, Carnival, American Cruise Lines, members from Viking, Disney, and had a lot of discussions about what Wrangell has to offer, talk about some of the infrastructure developments we have going on, what would be better to attract new business here, what other economic development opportunities we have that exist on island, and potential ones that they could pursue. So really great opportunity to network with all those. I actually went to Connecticut from the Sea Trade Conference and met with leadership at American Cruise Lines, which we now have a proposal from them for a long-term lease request that we will be discussing as a body in a joint work session format here really soon. And it's a very exciting opportunity. I think it is synergetic with what we want to achieve in our waterfront master plan that we have attested in 2015. And I think we can really get a really expeditious start on that plan if in partnership with a character like American Cruise Lines. They're proposing a floating dock being built here in Wrangell, suitable for their priority of their ships, but also other players as well. That's a good thing for us. Port infrastructure is really expensive. We could put the investment into filling out our waterfront in certain variations of our waterfront master plan. Our port director has already applied for that core permit for 3.4 acres of fill, approximately 150,000 yards. That's pretty significant. And we would be, in essence, be pursuing a joint venture with American Cruise Lines, potentially other partners as well, not only to develop our waterfront, but have an anchor tenant really that's coming to Wrangell in the right size. You know, they're 170 passenger ships, wealthier class, and they do spend some dollars here in Wrangell. So if you want to look them up, they got a really great example of ports in Klamath and other places across the United States, Montana, back in the east. So I'm excited to bring that opportunity back to town as a result of the Sea Trade Conference. And as I said, we'll be talking about that opportunity here in the next month. A lot of events to share with the community. We have our April 30th triannual drill with the Department of Transportation. If you recall, we signed our MOU for EMT and water rescue. Mm-hmm. So we did that in preparation for this. And so we're actually soliciting for 10 volunteers to serve as patients with the hospital, because this is going to be a live drill. We're going to have our city personnel after 5 actually participating in that. So I'll have certain directors and city staff there, and we'll be simulating a flight going off the end of the runway and how we would respond to those circumstances. So really good opportunity to exercise our new EOP, which will be passed tonight. And obviously we're studying that in advance of the exercise. So that's on April 30th, starts at 5:30 p.m. We have the Milk Run Music Fest, which is a new opportunity here in town. Starts May 1st at the dinner at the Nolan Center, and then it's the festivities kick off the 2nd and 3rd. Live music coming from out of town, and I think it's a great opportunity, so I appreciate those on the Milk Run Music Fest board for bringing that to town. Hopefully we get some out-of-town folks and some neighboring community folks joining us here, and we got plans to make that a successful event. We have a joint Sunday work session, like I said, that we'll schedule sometime in May and June with EDB, CVB, Planning and Zoning Port Commission for the American Cruise Lines proposal, and so we'll be evaluating that. I'd like to have a work session on May 13th for the Waterfront Master Plan and talk about what was discussed in 2015 when you guys selected your preferred alternative, but also talk about what it would look like to have a potential anchor tenant right out here in front of City Hall and have that port infrastructure invested in.
And for the public, they can find the master waterfront plan on our website. And assembly members, you have a hard copy in front of you.
Yep, thank you, Madam Mayor. That's actually why I printed it out. I figured there's no excuse not to study it if it's right in front of you. So hopefully you guys can take that a good once over before May 13th when we have a work session before our next assembly meeting. Then we'll have, I skipped over the BOE. The BOE will be held here on May 5th at 5:30?
May
7th. May 7th? Oh, rescheduled. Okay, May 7th. Have a Sunday meeting on May 27th. We might do a work session there. We have a budget work session on May 28th. We rescheduled that for May 14th. Just want to bring you guys the full final product and rather than piecemeal it. June 10th will be our budget adoption and the mill rate adoption. On June 4th, Kate has scheduled with Matt LaBrentz lumber grading training, and that's University of Alaska Fairbanks Extension employee. Really great opportunity. 10 participants have already surveyed that they'd be wanting to join in. That's an opportunity to learn how to grade lumber, and it's kind of following the trajectory of how we want to grow our timber industry here locally. And then on June 9th, there'll be the community addressing stakeholder meeting. More to come on that, and Kate will report on that in a separate meeting. But there is progress being made on the community addressing project. Obviously, the contract's in place, and so they're going to be engaging with stakeholders such as public safety officers and borough officials and community members to get an accurate picture on how this should all work. So exciting on that. The May 13th agenda is really, really big. I think we're going to hit a record 8 ordinances. A lot of land sales taking place. I'll talk about those here in just a bit. And, you know, I think we're going to have some busy meetings here coming up. And tonight's no joke either. We have quite a bit of items to get through, so I'll try to keep going on. For planning and zoning, on May 8th, they're going to discuss the plan unit development code and pick that back up from previous sessions. They're going to look at the timber management rezone, and they'll be discussing the WCA Lot C plat. For land sales upcoming, we have six lots adjacent to the old hospital have been requested for purchase. That'll be approval to move forward on May 13th. Wills Onsgard has requested 10 acres of the mill property. The purchase and sale and conditional conveyance will happen next meeting, May 13th. The WCA Lot C land sale purchase and sale agreement approval, along with the plat for Lot C healthcare subdivision. So some pretty big lot sales coming to the council next meeting. I also wanted to point out, I made the point in the work session, but I did trial Zillow for industrial lots. Just want a quick head nod that you guys are okay with me doing that, because you guys didn't pass that. Okay.
You have approval.
Okay, we're good to go, so that'll be great. Obviously, our Ringgold Medical Center is still for sale and listed on the public surplus. We do have some opportunities we're pursuing at the moment. I think there's a lot of interested parties. We have about 3 to 4 parties right now that we're pursuing discussions with, and so more to come on that. Kind of one particularly real exciting opportunity. I had a good meeting with Clink and Haida to check in with them about the child care MOU we just signed with WCA and Clink and Haida, and met with Superintendent Burr and members of the school district up there, administration. And so they're requesting 2 classrooms in our primary school building to be vacated so they can have space for early Head Start and child care. So we're going to be working through logistics with them, and we're going to do a site visit here in May, and that's a really, really great opportunity to offer 40 spots for early start child care in the community. So I think that's really great. Water treatment plant commissioning is going really well. There's a lot of sophisticated components going on up there and a lot of new things being learned. As I said in the previous assembly meeting, you know, there's 450 alarms in the SCADA system, so just syncing things up so people don't get called out is a burden in and of itself. But I really commend Public Works Director Reeder and his staff, Andrew Scambler. Andrew's taken a much-needed break after all the overtime he's put in the plan over the last 6 months. I think he's off to Hawaii with Sarah, so I'm glad he's doing that. And it's been really great. I know that at the end of the line now, the 6 mile, in the past, we've had to flush lines a lot just because of how long the water sits in our pipes and doesn't help the turbidity of the water in any way. And Kate said she took a bath out at 6 up the road, and prior it used to be kind of yellow hued, and now it's crystal blue. So we didn't even flush anything. So that's a testament that your water is better from a turbidity perspective. We're going to come release some results with our quarterly compliance meeting, but we do have better water as a result of this plant. So I think really, really a big feather in the cap for the borough. St. Michael Street.
For the water treatment plant, we're going to have a video for the public, and eventually have an open house.
Yeah, so me and Kate talked about a video, yeah. So I think she's going to delegate that to her colleague in her department and get that out on our social media page, because it is a really cool state-of-the-art plant for folks to see, and it's out of sight, out of mind, I think, mm-hmm. for most people. A lot of people don't even know we're on the new plant yet, so can't say it enough. It's been probably the biggest feat we've accomplished in the last decade. And we will do a ribbon-cutting ceremony and invite past participants and get that project across the line, so that would be great. St. Michael Street, we're at 50% design. Engineer's estimate's $1.1 million. We're going to try to trim that down. That's a significant value. Of course, there's things like mobilization and contingency that amount to about $250,000. I'm going to guess that we're going to come in about $750,000 altogether. But that'll be a full-on sewer, water, and resurfacing project. Obviously, it's probably about the worst road in town, aside from McKinnon right now. And so we're looking to get a contract in place here in June, and then the construction by July 15th. And we're scanning the materials list and seeing if we need to order anything in advance of getting a contractor on board so we don't get jabbed by any lead times, long lead times for components. So that project is forthcoming. City Park Pavilion replacement. Got the red cedar sitting out there ready to go. Once McGraw's done with the water treatment plant, we'll see that pavilion be built. I've heard concerns from the community members about the trees that are adjacent to it. We have done analysis with some of our partners on health of some of those trees. Of course, if there's a big windstorm, the structure is going to be insured, so that's a requirement because this City Park Pavilion is all grant funded through the state. And to the tune of over $260,000, which is quite ridiculous for a pavilion, but that's the money they gave us, so we're going to get a nice pavilion. And I wouldn't expect I don't want the community to expect that we're going to have these nice pavilions everywhere, but it'll be a good offering for the community.
Well, and the community needs to know that your team asked for even more money to bring it up to $235,000.
We did get that, so that's pretty exciting. Elevator construction, the high school is slated for May, still tracking. The Alder Top Phase 2 bid documents were released, and now we'll be soliciting, and we should have a bid opening on May 7th, unless it's extended. Timeline for Alder Top, we just discussed it in work session, but I'll kind of communicate it one more time. Bid opening May 7th, contract award likely May 13th. At the end of May, we'll give the notice to proceed. On June 1st, we'll have the marketing campaign start. And once they get the window sorted out here. June and July construction will start. On July 1st, we'll list the 90 lots on the public, or sorry, the 90 lots, the 20 lots for 90 days. That'd be real cool if we had 90 lots. The 20 lots for 90 days on public surplus. That'll go from July 1st to September 29th, at which point that public auction will close. We'll have substantial completion for construction slated for September the 30th, and then we'll get the final plat approved and go through the conveyance process for each of the buyers. So that resolution for sale of Alder Top is for you tonight. For those that aren't familiar with Alder Top, it's our former institute property that we've been working for 30 years on. So pretty big milestone tonight to get it listed for sale. And thanks to the mayor for pushing to get it done. We have our Unit 1 generators being overhauled right now with EPS. They've redone all 20 power packs on the generator right now, so David McCall and Dwight Yancey and Light Power Crew have been really busy on that. That's great. Needed it, and to have further resiliency in the case of extended outages or the SEPA annual maintenance run, it's great to have Unit 1 have that overhaul occur. Again, I'd like to thank the Walker Foundation for their various contributions to the borough, the $10,000 for the library, $24,000 for the PFAS removal in the previous year for the fire department, and another $25,000 actually that wasn't communicated tonight for search and rescue equipment. I'd like to thank the sportsmen for their $10,000 contribution as well to our fire department search and rescue crew. And A lot happening within the borough, so you guys will see a lot of items you have coming before you in the next meeting, and happy to answer any questions, but I'll stop there.
Any questions, simply? All right, and then also under borough manager's report, we have a, is the finance director going to answer any questions?
He's on the line.
Okay, let's pick that next. Anyone have any questions for Finance Director Poole? Anything on the budget? Good quarter, third quarter report on the budget, accounts receivable, good report there. I noticed that the accounts receivable is being managed a little bit better, so thank you for that. I did have a question on utility billing, credit card fees, $56,000. Do you think we should address that? Because currently the city is covering those credit card fees.
Yeah, I can chime in on that. It's definitely something that we've discussed internally. With utility billing, we're looking at incorporating that into our new online payment software, Pay It, next fiscal year. It was actually part of our original contract with Pay It. And when we do that, be either a portion or all of the fees, but as of now, those user fees are kind of covered by the utility rate, so that's something that we can revisit at a later time, and I'm going to attempt to quantify that a little bit better once we know more, and I can discuss that with Mason prior to, in the Finance Committee prior to bringing that to the Assembly.
Okay, thank you. Anything else for the Finance Director? We also had a good report from the Harbor Master, and that's, these reports are available for the public. Good Fire Department report, Library, Nolan Center, and Planning and Zoning. So those reports are available. Any question on Borough Manager's report? Okay, moving right along. Borough Clerk's report, item 8.
I don't really have anything other than to express that the BOE meeting is going to be changed from the 5th of May to the 7th of May. And we have quite a few appeals. How many do we get, Ron?
74.
74 that need to be vetted. And so our assessor asked for just a little bit more time, just a couple days more in town. So, when the packet, probably we'll send the packet off. We'll probably get it done by Monday on the 5th and get it to you.
Okay.
I'll remind you.
All right. And when will you have the packet for the Assembly? The BOE procedure.
I'll email that out.
Okay.
And I actually did send out an email to the Assembly a couple weeks ago, and I'll send it again.
Okay.
It has the link, and it has the procedures and all that, so.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And you did a good job on trying to find the water quality gauge information on the Stikine River.
Yeah.
It's a little bit difficult to follow.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows of another good report, continuous report on the Stikine water quality, that would be good to know. All right. Any questions for the Borough Clerk? Okay. Number 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Any members have any business? Assembly Member Mock?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the borough team to put out a request for proposal for the development of a residential subdivision in parcel 02-008-500.
Sorry, I missed Assembly Member Mock one more time.
02-008-500. And it's a fairly large lot just east of the Evergreen Trailer Park. As we kind of talked about in our work session, there seems to be a lot of interest, inquiries from others as the people get excited about Aldertop. And this is an area closer to town, so there's definitely some people that want to live down the road. There's people who want to be closer to in-town amenities. So thought we could look into it and maybe not develop it ourselves, but see if someone else would be interested in doing so. So,
all right. Any objection? Good idea. And turn that over to Planning and Zoning and see what they say.
Yeah, we'll probably get through the slew of land sales that we have currently, get all the chop off the ground, and then this might be a good opportunity to look at soliciting for proposals for public property. It might be something to do before we do phase 2 for Aldertop too, so it might learn some lessons through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Assembly Member Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through the chair, I saw in the audit report that we're spending a pretty large amount on IT services, and I know Borough Manager, you in the prior to my time on the Assembly when I was simply school board, mentioned sharing services. I think sharing IT services is something to really look into, a contract of where we could pay someone, more than they're making at the school, but split the bill, and they could do both buildings. I know that when I was up there, the tech director and I volunteered to help at the city, so it can be done. Logistics would be a little tricky, but I think that's something to look into, because outsourcing IT or just creating a position and hiring someone, because outsourcing IT is significantly more expensive than having someone on the books.
Great.
Okay. Anything else?
One other thing I'm just going to mention, Madam Mayor, is, you know, again, I really encourage everybody to look at the Waterfront Master Plan. Kind of what we're thinking is, regardless of what investments are potentially made here in the borough, we do want to follow through with the plan. You know, the board director and I have talked about pursuing a revenue bond this winter for $5 million for port infrastructure and filling out the existing waterfront in front of City Hall, the tidelands out in front of City Hall. And, you know, that'll be what our discussion revolves around. So, Kernji, you should take a read through it. I know it's a bit thick. And I think the preferred alternative that was selected back in 2015 isn't exactly what we would be doing, but there is a there that, you know, track accordingly. So,
for the public, will you explain where the 3.4 acres of fill would be?
Yeah. It's,
and
it's,
how the barge ramp may be included in that?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. So the existing prospective fill site would be from where the barge ramp meets the tidelands there, where it's filled out a bit further than the rest of the stretch between the barge ramp and the Marine Service Center. And then if you look out over towards the Marine Service Center, there's fill that goes out further. So it'd be from point to point, basically where the barge ramp meets the shore, and then all the way to the point where it's already filled out over by the Marine Service Center. So about 3.4 acres. Don't have to fill all of it. We don't want to, but definitely want to maximize our real estate downtown and bring in some economic development opportunities along the way. So more space for retail, another hotel, so we can host bigger conferences, more regional sporting events, those types of things, bring more people to town. And I think there's going to be some great opportunities ahead of us.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Item 10, the Mayor and Assembly appointments. We have none. Let's move to item 11A, public hearing. Assembly, this is on page 197. Resolution number 04-25-1931 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, approving the amended fees and rate schedule as per Wrangell Municipal Code 5.14.025. And I will have an administrative report, please.
Yeah, pretty simple. For the most part, I appreciate Mr. Keller's wife and Jared being here. I imagine they might speak to it. This is approval of a sublease for Jared Gross, who's purchasing.
No, these are rates and fees.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
You're ahead.
Listen to what you said. 1 second.
Page 197 is where it starts.
Right, I just wanted to get to them since they're sitting here.
This should be. I can, for the public, I can tell you what we had a workshop and we went over all of the rates and fees of all five enterprise funds. We determined the electrical fund would be 0% increase. Mm-hmm. We determined that the water fund would be a 10% increase. And Assembly, that's on page 218. Ports and Harbor is around 5%. However, not every item is 5% increase, I noticed. And wastewater or sewer is 5.5% increase. And sanitation or garbage is 4% increase. Is that correct?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
And I'll elaborate a little bit. You know, we had a good work session on the rate fees and rates. There's a lot that goes into these rates, but I think more importantly than anything is the discipline that we have in tracking our progress each year with our enterprise funds and understanding the health and viability of each of the funds. There's long periods of time in the past where we pursued zero rate increases. We didn't even match inflation. And that really set us back in the ability to address or recapture, recapitalize future expenses in each of these enterprise funds, as we discovered with the water treatment plant, which nearly has bankrupted the water fund. You know, I think if we continue to stay diligent with some of these increases, we'll be well-versed to tackle future obligations and maintain solvency for each of our enterprise funds. We do feel like that we were pretty prudent in our proposal. 0% for electric's good. A rate pass, I would predict probably a rate pass again next year for electric, which is overwhelmingly the most material figure on folks' utility bills. And so that's a good thing, something that they control.
And in the past with our electric fund, even though SEPA may have increased their wholesale rate to us, They do that in December mm-hmm. for the following first of the year. Usually we do not do that increase at that time.
That's
so
correct.
We carry that burden.
That's correct. And so we've done a pretty good job navigating things in Light and Power and staying ahead of the game. The Port Commission did approve a 3% increase to most of their fees and rates. However, in the work session, we did have Chair John Yeager there discuss 5%, what that looks like. It doesn't include all rates, as the
right.
mayor mentioned. They do have different rates for peak season in the Marine Service Center.
Yeah.
So they've adopted a seasonal rate structure. That makes sense. The Marine Service Center is a majority outward facing and serve to capture some revenue for the Port and Harbor Fund there. So that's a good thing. Sanitation, you know, the increase represents largely what we're getting passed on for our municipal solid waste disposal. The contract we're on for that is a 5.5% increase rate hike by Republic Services, who is contracted to dispose of our waste down in Washington. So some of these things are tit for tat for what we're actually experiencing in cost for ourselves. And obviously, the rate of inflation, CPI year over year as of June was 3%. So just if we want to keep with inflation, we should increase our rates 3%. So other than that, you know, I comment the most material of the increase is water. I think Assemblymember DeBoer said it in our previous work session, average rate in America for water, about $72 a month. We're obviously not metered in most cases, so 76 is incredibly crazy, especially having built a $24 million water treatment plant that we're just commissioning right now. So I think people understand what they're paying for there, but that's the majority of the reason for the increase is just being able to afford our debt service and future obligations as it relates to the reservoir bypass project, the dam project that we'll be pursuing here this next year, and all the underground infrastructure recapitalization. And for the folks listening, that we did model out replacing roads every year, and when we replace roads, we're not going to accept not doing the underground infrastructure like that was done in Evergreen back in 2018. I think that's irresponsible, and so we'll be pursuing some of the underground infrastructure that's 40 to 60 years old in this community for greater resiliency, and so that's something we modeled out. But I'm happy to speak to any of the rates. I think the Assembly's fairly in tune with all the rates. Some anomalies, we increased the Nolan Center facility rates. Some of those were rather cheap for some of the conventions and conferences we've been holding. We did put the premium for public land disposals that were requested in there, as been desired by the Assembly for quite some time. I understand there may be an amendment to that. That was at 20% in there.
Yeah.
20, well, I proposed it at 20%, but 25%, I guess. And I think that's about it.
All right. I'm going to open up testimony from the public. Does anyone have any testimony on the rate and fee proposal? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain a motion. I believe it's on page 197.
Move to approve resolution number 04-25-1963.
1936. Second.
All right. Thank you. Motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Now questions. Assemblymember DeBoer.
Not a question, but just more of a statement for the general public than modeling out the enterprise fund increases. 10%, 5% sounds scary, but we came to the conclusion that it would, on an average household, be about a $14 a month increase, not $140 or $500 a month increase, basically $15 a month, with the exception of Ports and Harbors, which doesn't affect everyone.
Correct.
As such as the others do.
Correct. And everything is a flat fee except electric. That's one fee you can control to some extent, and then also with Ports and Harbor. And then for the public, please explain what an enterprise fund is.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think we've gotten that question probably 10 times, but it's good to
going over it.
So there's a difference between the type of funds that we have, and actually a better question might be, you know, Mason, you got $35 million. Why can't you afford to do St. Michael Street, or why can't you afford to do some of these things? Why are you asking the taxpayers or the ratepayers to fund some of these things? Well, the way governmental accounting works in finance, I can't take, it would be wrong to take somebody's stall rent fee that we apply and turn around and develop a street with it, because that's not what they pay for, right? They're paying for the service that's being rendered, and those rates should absorb the cost of business. And so we have five enterprise funds with the borough. We have, starting with Fund 70,000 Electric, we have the Water Fund, we have Sanitation, the Harbors, and the Sewer Fund. Right. And so those five enterprise funds operate as businesses. We're not here to make money. It's not like we have shareholders. Our shareholders are the ratepayers, in essence. But we do have to afford, be able to have enough in reserves to recapitalize our infrastructure, expand where it makes necessary for future growth. And that is different from governmental type funds, which would be the general fund, some of our special revenue funds, the Nolan Center, the Parks and Rec Fund, transient tax, certain things like that. Those are, and generally, governmental activity funds have non-voluntary exchanges that are driving things. So people wouldn't pay property taxes if we didn't ask for it, and because they're funding more communal types of things like the library, roads that everybody utilizes, and so that cost is absorbed through non-voluntary exchanges in the form of the taxation. So our general fund is funded by sales tax, property tax, state and federal grant revenues, and some other taxes and fees. But that is essentially the distinction: is these enterprise funds need to stand alone. There is a path forward to subsidizing enterprise funds in the form of interfund loans and gifts, which has been done in the past. And that's a tool we can definitely deploy. But again, people paying for their garbage can out front should not be paying for somebody's street replacement, for example. So that's why the funds stay segregated on our financials.
Okay, thank you. Assembly Member Mock?
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
No, but I don't know if this is the right time, but I want to move to amend the resolution. Can I do that now?
Yep, okay. Anytime you wish.
So I'd like to move to amend the resolution to decrease the land sale premium from the 25% listed to 10%. And that's on page 207.
Okay.
On the schedule there.
So Assembly, page 207.
Is where it is on the schedule, on the
right.
primary schedule.
And Madam Mayor, we have a second.
Yeah, we need a second.
I'll second it.
Okay, so amendment by Mock, second by Powell. All right, now page 207. And
that
yeah, do you see it at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
Assembly? So this is a premium on real property or tied lands, 25% added to assessed fair market value amount.
Madam Mayor.
And this is if people want to buy the property outright. So Assembly Member Powell.
So what's normal?
Just point of clarification, Madam Mayor. So this isn't even effective yet, but it's in anticipation of Title 16 being revised. And that will be self-evident once that ordinance is read next meeting on May 13th. But in anticipation of doing that, we don't want to put that rate in the code, so we put it in a rate schedule. So in the event that somebody does come to the borough, request property for purchase, because they're the requester, they would pay that premium. Now, if the assembly elected to go to a public auction, that a premium would be waived in essence, because everybody would have a shot at it. So this is just if the assembly decides to sell it to somebody or request property, they would be charged for Assembly Member Mock's purposes 10%, or it's listed in the fee and rate schedule 25%. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just wondering what's the normal rate for what do other municipalities do?
Alaska Mental Health Trust may apply a 30% premium to land sales to maximize return for the trust and its beneficiaries. So 30% through mental health in the state of Alaska.
And as the Senator Borough Manager mentioned, we are kind of jumping the gun a little bit because we don't have mm-hmm. the code in front of us, but this is a good time to talk about it. Borough Clerk, do you want to explain to the public the two methods of purchasing land that we're considering?
Do you mean if it's borough?
Borough owned land, yeah.
Okay, so if it's borough initiated, which is like we're doing for Aldertop,
right.
Or like the industrial lots, then this premium would not be applied. Because it would be on the public surplus site and it could be bid up, and so the premium is essentially it would be higher than the fair market value generally. However, if you come to the borough with your application and want to purchase a piece of property and it goes through the process and it's approved, we do the assessment or get the appraisal, based on the appraisal. It'll be the 25% or 10% if it's approved to change it to that fair market value price, essentially a premium. And the rationale behind that too is that it does take administrative time to do that. It takes a lot of administrative time, especially for a piece of property that we didn't anticipate putting up for public surplus. So it goes through my office, it goes through PZ, sometimes EDB, Port Commission often if it's tied lands, and then it comes to you. And so it does take up a lot of time.
And that's not to mention the outside engagement from the surveyors, potentially the appraisers,
right.
Maybe getting a replat, potentially a plat, approving a new plat. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. I personally would recommend, I'm in favor, not that I'm voting tonight, of just the proposal to have a reduced premium. I think we should be incentivizing property getting in the hands of others. And if there is going to be demonstrated other interested parties, Title 16, the way we have redrafted, would go out to public bid. And so I think either way you're going to capture the premium, whether you go out to bid or 10%. So. I think it's in the best interest of the borough to expand its tax base, all burden to the people that are here, and getting lots out there is the best way to do it. So 25% on a $200,000 lot is a significant chunk of change for folks.
Assemblymember Powell.
The only thing I have to say about reducing it, and with the state being 30%, you're correct. It may be a substantial $200,000 lot. Not very often do we see $200,000 lots laying around, okay? And most of the time, if someone comes up with a $200,000 lot or $300,000 and wants to develop a parcel of land for, like, development, you've still got administration problems of all that. I mean, the bigger your lot, the more work it's going to be, okay? So, I mean, if you can afford $200,000 lot just by walking to the city and saying, I want that lot, you're going to be afforded 25%, especially if the state's 30%. And we've already talked about this with the previous land sales of how much work it is for our staff. And we weren't getting nothing before. So I don't know if 10% is the correct number or 25% is the correct number, but I do know Assemblymember DeBoer was talking about this years ago, and we should have done it years ago. So I don't know what the percentage would be best, but other than figure out what it costs to do it, and are we below the cost of 25% or way above it? I mean, I don't know that.
Well, a quick rebuttal, I would say that it's not just the cost of administrative support through the process and outside engagement, but I think it's also if somebody's coming to you and it's not being put out to public auction, you're missing out on that potential premium that it would sell at public auction. That's the major concern, kind of like what we just talked about in the Aldertop work section.
Right, and we've had this discussion. In fact, we had community members question us on why we don't put it out for public bid or do a premium. So
and that's
this
right
is
question.
Timely. Assembly Member Powell?
That is my question right now is you're just saying that this new... Is it ordinance that's coming up? The new ordinance that's coming up is saying that if I was to come up to the city and say I want that lot, we're going to put it up for public auction. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
There'll be a process to where if enough interest is garnered, that the assembly will have the decision to put it out to public auction.
Right, and I still don't know how that's going to work yet. I still have trouble with that, with having the purchaser come to the assembly and us trying to decide whether to put it up for public auction. The one thing that may help you decide on this is that we have doubled the fee for the application. It was currently $250. The new code that will come to you May 13 is $500, non-refundable. So that'll
not
cover
the code. It's already in there. They have to pay a fee.
Right.
However, what this does is that it changes it from $250
right.
per application to $500
per lot. Non-refundable.
Right.
So that should help with some of the administrative fee that we would incur.
A good example of the WCA lot C sale has been going on for well over 12 months, and it'd be hard pressed to find the hours that Kate spent on it, but she spent a lot of time on that lot sale specifically. And even if it was $500, you're not recapturing the time that the borough's putting into those lot sales. So,
Assembly Member DeBoard.
So you're also taking, and it's kind of been covered, but the big thing, another big thing to me is you're taking the competitiveness out of this, right? And in our previous discussions tonight, you're saying it was, 30 and 40% over the initial bid, right? So
The example you gave was
30 yeah. and 40% for those two lots?
Yes.
Average
15? Yeah, average 15%.
Okay.
So if I could make a counter amendment, I would probably suggest we up it from 10%.
And a follow up that this is annually. We could, if it doesn't work this year,
correct.
Whatever it is, we can use this year period of time as to figure out and do a little bit more math, and then maybe adjust it next year. This isn't set in stone for forever.
Correct.
So.
Correct. So Assembly Member Dalrymple.
My view on this is just, again, it's the premium that you get to not have to compete. Yep. And I agree with Jim's been saying this for several years now.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty valid, 25%. Mental health was 30. I don't know what the other communities might be. I don't know if they even have this, but it seems reasonable to me, again, to get premium. I know we want to move stuff on our market, but we also need to get the value of the land.
So. And look out for the taxpayer. Assembly Member Mock?
Yeah, I put it at 10%.
Right.
Just to bring up the conversation, whether it's 10 or 15 or 20, I'm viewing it as a way of, okay, I'm going to buy, an over-the-top lot is not 40,000. Let's say it's 40,000. I'm adding an extra $10,000 at 25% on top of that. And I think we're all kind of encouraging people to come to the borough and say, hey, I want to buy this lot. We've talked about, okay, and maybe that should go to the auction site or surplus. But if we go too high, are we going to push people away?
Okay.
And I think we need to get these more of our property into the hands of people who can develop it.
Okay, good comment. Assembly Member DeBoard.
Just for clarification on that, this would not be a 25% premium on Aldertop lots.
No, it wouldn't. But
okay.
I'm throwing out that a $40,000.
Okay. Just didn't want there to be confusion.
No.
Out there.
No. Apologies.
There's magically 25% now.
Nope. No.
Aldertop too. So.
Right.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Would it cover? Would it apply to that?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know.
No. This is for the public coming to the city requesting a lot that the assembly has been for several years now telling the public we have land for sale.
Great. So. Now the Wrangell Sentinel front page is going to say 25% hike on Aldertop.
Yep. No. All right. So currently, Assembly, we have an amendment to the motion to reduce the land premium from 25% to 10%. Are we ready to vote? Okay. Poll vote, please.
Okay. On the amendment only, Assembly Members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
No.
Powell?
No.
DeBoard?
No.
Robbins?
No.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
Okay, so.
All right. So. Amendment fails. We're back to our original motion. And again, this is a rate and fee schedule. Do we have any other amendments, any other comments? Assembly Member Mock?
No one wants to make an amendment on
the
percentage. I'm going to amend something else.
Okay.
So I want to move to amend the resolution to remove the vacation rate option for sewer services. It seems like it was kind of left behind on previous vacation rates. So maybe consider just kind of the cleanup, but
okay,
takes it down to $14 from, it's on page 220.
Okay. But. Assembly 220. We have a motion to amend. Do we have a second? Did everyone, will you repeat your amended?
Yes, to amend the resolution to remove the vacation rate option for sewer charges shown on page 220.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Mock, second by Powell. Discussion on this. And what was the dollar figure again, $14?
It's now proposed at 15, but a regular monthly residential charge would be $61 and a vacation rate would be 15. I think it adds a little bit more administrative fee or, you know, burden on the clerks, but and I don't think it's probably necessary. And I think you have some numbers on how many people utilize it.
Yeah, thanks, Assemblyman Vermont. And Madam Mayor, I might offer just kind of a point of information. So vacation rates, there's three options for somebody that may be spending less time here in Wrangell. Maybe they winter down in Arizona or something like that. You can leave your utilities just on their standard rates. You can go to the utility clerk and get them on vacation rates, which is proposed at $15. Obviously, vacation rates for water is going to mirror sewer, so you effectively get vacation rates for both, which is essentially a reduced rate of the overall standard residential water and sewer rate. And number three, the option is you can just disconnect your service, and so that's currently $50 to disconnect and $50 to reconnect. So those are the three options somebody's faced with. But one kind of sophisticated point in the process is there are several fourplexes or multifamily units that are tied into the same water service, so they can't regulate who's on vacation rates or not. So kind of an honesty game, right? I could be one of the units of the four that says, well, I'm down to Arizona. I only spent a month down in Arizona, came back, even though I said I was gone for 6 months. So you can essentially abuse it in those types of living circumstances. And so there might have to be an exception for those circumstances. You can't disconnect a multifamily apartment or unit complex. And so that would be one area we'd have to kind of hash out a little bit. But I do support the idea of getting rid of vacation rates. The volume on average is about, 30 at a time consistently.
So would you extend that to water also, vacation rate?
So it's for water and sewer. And if it's not on the schedule, it got dropped at some point, but that's essentially the idea.
Okay. What comments, Assembly?
I have one thing.
Assembly Member Mock?
My view on it is that if you're on vacation, you're still hooked up to the infrastructure. You should still have some part in maintaining that infrastructure. If that needs to be replaced in a certain amount of time, it's going to affect you whether you're there or not, or you're where you're living, or your residence.
Okay. And we know from testimony that people who leave during the winter may leave water running for their pipes to not freeze. Are we ready for a vote, Assembly, on this amendment? Okay, we're going to vote on dropping the vacation rate for water and sewer. They're tied together, correct?
Just one more point of clarification. So if you do vote yes on this, you'd be effectively saying that people either have to disconnect service,
yeah,
or they're paying the rate all the time.
Right.
And you may have to make it contingent that if you disconnect your water service, that you don't get billed sewer either. This would be essentially the...
Which would make sense.
Right.
Yeah. And how many people disconnect altogether?
What was that?
How many people per year?
I don't have a per year volume, but I had the public works form into my office yesterday, and there's about 15 to 20 a month could be that they're leaving town. It could be that they're pursuing construction on their property. So it's various purposes it's used.
Okay. Assemblymember Powell?
So, yeah, clarify something for me. So you're telling me right now that if I have a vacation rate on my sewer, you're going to give me a vacation rate on my water? That's how this works? But our water and sewer is billed separately.
They are billed separately, but that's how it's historically worked, yes.
So if I disconnect, it's going to cost me $50 to disconnect both of them or disconnect?
Wait.
Because you don't disconnect water and sewer.
Sewer.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, does everyone understand the motion?
Yeah. One more clarification.
Assemblymember Powell.
So right now, the only rate we have, so if I go on vacation, I want to go to vacation rate, okay? Am I still paying my water? There's no vacation rate for water because it's not listed in here at all.
It's a good question, and it's confusing because of the history. So the previous manager, the assembly stripped out the water vacation rate, but the sewer vacation rate is tied to the water vacation rate in the system.
Yeah.
And so, and really it shouldn't be dropped off the schedule because people, if you're getting a vacation rate for sewer, it's based off of what your water circumstances are, whether you're out of town and you're on vacation or you've disconnected it, whatever. And so sewer follows water. And so I can see the confusion. It should be either dropped altogether across both funds with the exception for multifamily units as a different circumstance.
Right.
Or they should be brought online together.
Okay. All right.
So someone leaves for winter for 3 months, 4 months, they should do disconnect,
mm-hmm.
call for disconnect.
Or continue to pay the full load rate. Yeah.
Well, that'll take care of the water usage during the winter increasing during a rough winter. Okay, Assembly, does everyone understand the motion? All right, poll vote, please.
This is on the amendment. Downerhold?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Monk?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, that amendment passes. Any other amendments?